Yes, thanks everyone. I'm really excited to be talking about coffee today. It's one of my great passions. And hopefully I can share with you a little bit about what I've learned about what makes a great espresso and what makes a bad espresso and how you can make more great ones. So we're going to start at the real basics and then work our way up to something more and more advanced as we go. So first, just what is espresso? Then we're going to go into the real beginner's level. How do you kind of dial in the right espresso with the equipment that you've got? And then we're going to crack out the big guns, the ISO standard for espresso, and number by number what that means. And I've got some graphs and charts to show you exactly what's happening. We're going to delve into the numbers and see how that works actually with pulling an espresso. And then thinking about more modern espresso, lighter roast and things like that, how things change there. And then we're going to talk about how you break the rules, so where the ISO standard for espresso breaks down, and finish up with my cheat sheet, because I think the standard's wrong, but we'll get to that and what the standard should be. So the real ultra super basics of how you make coffee, pretty much every coffee recipe in the world is this. You get coffee beans that are roast, you add water, sometimes you add heat, usually you filter out the beans and you end up with coffee. But there's a myriad different things you can do within that to make good or bad coffee along the way. And one way of thinking about it is in terms of the strength of coffee that you get. So with sort of a pour over or a drip style coffee, you're about 1.5% total dissolved solids. So that's how much of the liquid that's in there is actually dissolved coffee. For something like a mocha pot or like a Turkish coffee, you're almost double that. But espresso is way stronger. So between 7.5% and 9.5% of total dissolved solids is what's in an espresso. And I think, to me, that's one of the reasons that espresso is such a popular drink. Because it's so strong, people often like to drink it much weaker than that. So you can dilute down espresso with different amounts of water and cream and milk and foam and chocolate and things like that to produce this whole family of different drinks. And if you have a look at the menu at Starbucks, virtually every single one of those drinks is somehow a dilution of what's an espresso. So it's a really versatile drink, but even if you don't like this real strong espresso, I'm sure there's alternatives that you can use from there. But it's actually really hard to make. And we're going to be addressing these two things that make it really hard today, and hopefully I can demystify both of these things for you. So one of them is it happens inside this chamber that you can't see. It's enclosed, it's opaque, you can't see what's going on inside there, and you can't change it. You can't get in there and stir it up, you can't make changes as it goes. And that makes it really difficult to know whether it went well or not. The second thing that makes espresso really hard is the coffee bed itself is the filter. So the coffee bed itself is what's giving the pressure back. And so you need to prepare that bed of coffee really, really well, because ultimately that's what dictates the pressure and flow rate, and that dictates whether you're going to have a good espresso or not at the end of it. So that's what espresso is. The first thing that I learned, the first thing that I sort of started getting wrong about espresso was about grind and extraction. So we're going to start talking about that. So what you want is this kind of perfectly balanced cup where everything tastes nice and sweet and complex and aromatic. I'm sure if you've drunk coffee before, sometimes you'll just have one of those and you'll go, that's exactly the way that I like my coffee. And what we do is we measure extraction yield. So that's by weight, the percentage of what coffee was actually in that puck, how much of it ends up in the cup. And so somewhere between 19 and 23% seems to be about the right figure that the human taste buds really, really like. You extract all of the goodness and yumminess out of that coffee, but none of the bitter things. What I started doing when I first started making espresso was I was getting these really sour, watery type cups of coffee. And those types of flavors, that vegetal flavor or the salty or thin, particularly sour though, often that means that you're extracting too little. So what's in the cup, you haven't extracted enough yet, and that's extraction yields under 19%. If you go too far the other way, you end up with over-extracted coffee. And so what that tastes like is really astringent and harsh. I taste something kind of chalky. And pretty much the maximum possible that you're able to get out, able to dissolve into the cup is about 30%. But usually you'll be, if you're over 23%, you'll taste it, that there's this kind of bitterness to it. So the first way you can tell where you are on that spectrum is by tasting it. Does it taste like those things in the middle? Or does it taste sour and thin like on the left? Or does it taste bitter and harsh like on the right? And you can sort of move your extraction left to right, and I'll tell you how in a minute. The other way you can tell, if you're not quite sure from tasting it, is by watching it come out. So I pulled three shots earlier just to demonstrate. So a well-extracted espresso looks like this. It sort of pulls together like honey. It's really thick and rich as it dribbles into the cup. But an under-extracted coffee looks like this. It splashes everywhere, it gushes out. You can see it's splashed mess all over the back of my machine. It's a much paler color, and when you taste that coffee, before you even taste it, you know that it's going to be under-extracted. Over-extracted coffee looks like this. It's almost black, it's very, very dark, and it sort of drips rather than pulling together in a nice channel. So the first thing you need to know about how to change your extraction level is grinding. So if it's looking too under-extracted, or if it's tasting sour, you need to grind finer. If at the other hand it's something that is tasting over-extracted and dripping away, you need to grind coarser. This was the first lesson I learned, and most people, and certainly me, started off on the left-hand side with these sour coffees, and so the kind of the default beginner's advice is, well, maybe you should grind finer. I found with my first grinder, even when I set it on the minimum possible grind, it wasn't fine enough. So there's a hack that you can do, which is that you're able to shim your grinder to grind finer. So here's how you do it. You pull out from the grinder the burrs, which look like a little bit of a cone there, and then you place a thin shim, so it could be a circle of aluminium, or it could be some card or paper. Put it back together, and it will push those burrs slightly closer together. And what you want is to be able to turn it finer and finer until it just chirps. It just makes a little bit of a noise, and that means it's at the minimum possible. As soon as you hear that noise, back off, because it's not good for the burrs. But that's how you know you're at the minimum possible. So that's step one. But we're just getting started. So let's now talk about the ISO standard for espresso. And it gets really complicated. I'm not going to go through all of these numbers. But on the left, what we have is the ISO 45011, the certified Italian espresso. In the middle, we have a different standard, which is if you're competing in the World Barista Championships. And on the right is how modern espresso is made at coffee shops. So a couple of things to note. Espresso is getting bigger. Traditionally, people would do 7-gram shots. Now, people are grinding between 18 and 22 grams into the basket, and so sort of doing 9 to 11-gram shots. And there's nothing wrong with that. Temperature standards are terrible. Traditionally, espresso machines, you set the temperature of the boiler itself, and then that water works its way through the machine, and when it comes out of the shower head, it's between 4 and 6 degrees colder. So people set their espresso machines 4 to 6 degrees hotter than they actually want it to brew. And so some standards talk about boiler temperature and some talk about brew temperature, and that's all over the place. We'll get into that in a minute. The third thing is that particularly modern sort of third wave coffee shops are starting to brew at lower pressures. Traditionally, everyone just brewed at 9 bars, and as we'll see later, that's not always good. The last thing, if you happen to be competing in the World Barista Championships, you have to serve your coffee in a 60 to 90 mil vessel with a spoon, a napkin, and unflavored water. Otherwise, that doesn't matter. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to brew a coffee exactly to ISO standards, and we're going to use this machine here. The reason we're using this machine, this is a decent Espresso DE1, is it enables you to fully program the pressure, temperature, flow rates, and all of that. Now, so this is a schematic of what's happening inside that machine. We're not going to go through all of this, but we're just going to go through the two main water parts. So this one here, we've got a pump that extracts the cold water, heats it up, and then forces it through the coffee puck. We have a second pump that has cold water without heating it up and mixes them together. And so by adjusting those two pumps, instantaneously we can change the total flow rate, pressure rate, or by changing the mix we can instantaneously change the temperature. Oh, and we've got five different sensors that I'll be showing you on the graphs that are about to come. The first on the far left is a flow rate of how much water is getting pumped into the top of the puck. On the far right is a flow rate of how much water is coming into the cup, because they don't always match up. We have a temperature sensor of what temperature water is, and a temperature sensor of what the brew temperature is, and then we've got a pressure sensor, so you can see exactly how much pressure is building up inside the puck there. So pulling in the exact standard for an ISO espresso, ISO standard, here's what happened. Now I'm gonna dig into this in a minute, but the very first thing that is obvious to me is the standard pretends that everything's gonna be a straight line, that you just have an exact pressure, that you have an exact time, and it's all done, but that's actually not the case. The thing changes throughout the brew. So this green line is pressure, the blue line is how much is flowing into the top, and brown is how much is flowing into the bottom. And so we start off at a really low pressure. The machine just can't build up the pressure. What's happening is the puck is acting like a sponge. All of that hot water is just soaking straight in. Then the puck starts to expand and the pressure starts to build up. Still, all of that water that's flowing in is pouring in really fast, but it's just filling up the space inside the puck. Then the first drips come into the cup, and then finally we're actually pulling the shot. So water is flowing into the top of the puck at the same rate as it's flowing into the cup. And then once we've hit our espresso point, there's a solenoid inside the machine, and all of that extra pressure flows out the back and into the waste. So, pull that cup, how did it taste? It tasted 80% of the way there. It was something that most people would be happy with getting in a cafe, but it wasn't perfect. So if we think about those flavors of, was it under-extracted or over-extracted or just in the middle? Well, actually, it was all three. Mostly, that was extracted to the numbers, and it was mostly extracted well, but I also got some of those sour and thin and salty flavors, and also could taste some of the harsh flavors. So what's going on there? It's both under-extracted and over-extracted. I couldn't grind fine a raw coarser because it would knock it out. So we'll come to that in just a second. But my advice at this point is, if you want to hit the standard numbers, and it is really useful to do, weigh how much you put into the cup, into the beans that you grind, weigh how much goes into the cup and get that ratio right. What I didn't show you was the temperature graphs, and you can see here that top red line is the temperature of the water going in, and the bottom orange line is the temperature that the brew happened, and that brew never got up to temperature. And the reason for that was I didn't actually finish preheating. This wasn't on purpose, this was just, I realized afterwards, didn't finish preheating. So I have noticed it makes actually a really big difference if everything's nice and hot beforehand, if your machine's well preheated, if all of the things that are going to have coffee in them are all as hot as possible, it starts off the brew at a higher temperature and starts extracting really well. So now we're going to start talking about why we were getting under-extracted and over-extracted flavors at the same time. And we're going to start by talking about the different types of beans and the different roast levels. So it is a spectrum. You can roast it at any level. But broadly, we think about three types of roast levels. So there's the traditional espresso, which is that sort of dark roast. There's a medium roast, which is more sort of slightly fruity and caramelly. And then there's the lighter roast, which has got sort of fruit and berry type flavors and floral flavors. And if you go to a roaster and you pick up a bag of coffee and you're not sure whether it's a light roast or a dark roast, you can look at the beans or you can just read their tasting notes. And if the tasting notes say, this is a lovely citrusy coffee with lots of hints of fruits and berries, you know you're getting a light roast there. Whereas if it says, this is a real roasty, rich, dark chocolate sort of flavored coffee, you can bet it's going to be a dark roast. And so traditionally, espresso was that bold and dark type of bean, but people have noticed that the lighter the lighter roasts, the medium roasts, are actually kind of brighter and juicier and sort of a more yummier type of coffee. So let's go back, and we'll talk about this in a sec, but let's go back to that chart of the espresso I just pulled. And you can see that flow rate wasn't actually flat all the way. It started off brewing at about 1.4 milliliters per second flowing into the cup and ended at around 2. And the reason for that is that the puck breaks down. Remember we said well-extracted coffee has 20% of that coffee ending up in the cup? What that means is over the 30 seconds or so that you're brewing, that puck is slowly disintegrating and breaking down. And so what happens is water breaks down, finds these sort of paths that it flows more easily, and then those paths of least resistance, more and more and more water goes through those points, and that's called channeling. So what happens is that those points in the puck, the coffee was getting over-extracted. There was too much water flowing through there, and that's where the harshness and bitterness came from. And in the rest of the puck, it was under-extracted because there was less water flowing to those parts. But when I pull a dark roast on the same parameters, you can see the flow rate's constant. And so dark roasted coffees, the puck holds together far better. So with a dark roast coffee, it's actually really easy to pull a good espresso. Now I have to apologize, my numbers got corrupted, so I've had to draw on the lines on the next ones, but you'll get the idea. So this is what a medium roast looked like before I lost the data, is that slowly the puck broke down and that flow rate increased. And this is what a light roast looked like. It puck broke down a lot. And when I tasted that, it was not good. That light roast coffee where the puck broke down and water started gushing out, it tasted really under-extracted. It was very sour, and I didn't think it was very drinkable. The medium roast was okay, but it could be better. So let's try a different strategy. This time, let's try and keep that flow rate the same all the way through, and we'll slowly decrease the pressure, and hopefully having lower pressure will stop those channels forming. And it works. So this is what I did for like a revised version of the shot, was let's try and keep that flow rate just the same and just reduce the pressure. And you can see a dark roast was perfectly fine all the way, it handled the pressure, but a medium roast, I had to go back, instead of the standard 9 bars, that there was about 4.5 bars of pressure to brew that coffee. And so what that medium roast tasted like was much, much better. Because I was much gentler with it, it tasted much more sweeter and more balanced, and all of that harshness had gone. So this machine was a machine where you're able to dial up and down the pressure at whatever you like, but you can do this with your home espresso machine. All machines have got something called an overpressure valve. This is usually, it should be set to 9 bars, but sometimes from a factory it's even set at 10, 11 or 12 bars. And for medium and light roast coffees, you'll find that will be really sour. And so what you can do is you can change the setting or change the springs inside your overpressure valve. And if you knock that down to something like 6 bars, you'll get much sweeter, more balanced tasting lighter roast coffees. There's a second thing that you can do, which is called the Slayer mod, which I'm sure is a trademark term, so we can't. Well, there's a company called Slayer who have flow controlled machines. And so this here is a popular espresso machine. It's called the Breville Dual Boiler. And on the left, there's a knob for controlling water, for turning on and off water. But what you can do is you can open up inside, reroute those. You can see there's some lines drawn on there, but you can reroute the tubes. And what that means is you can use that same knob to reduce the flow. So what you can do is hit an espresso, and then as the shot continues, just turn down and down the pressure. And this sort of mod you can do on lots of different machines. And this will enable you to have much sweeter, more balanced tasting coffees without having to buy an expensive machine. A more expensive machine, I should say. And now, let's start talking about a few different things that are about breaking the rules and breaking free from that standard. So remember we talked about temperature? What actually makes the best tasting espresso is if you decrease the temperature over time. If you start with a really hot, as hot as possible in the brew chamber, but then by decreasing it, it stops that harshness coming at the end. So if you can find a way to get hot, hot water right at the beginning, and then slowly cooler water throughout the course of the brew, I highly recommend preheating the components, but you can also install an aftermarket PID. So this here is helping your machine get much more temperature stability. We're going to talk about three different ways of pulling shots just before we finish up. So this was the everything by the numbers. But to make this taste a bit better, what we can do is try and make that pre-infusion phase as even as possible. So we want to get the puck saturated really, really quickly and then leave it a couple of seconds. And so this here is 80% of the time when I make a cup of coffee, this is the type of profile that I'll use. I'll have the water flowing in really fast, waiting up to 10 seconds so that saturated puck can pre-infuse, and then having a slowly declining pressure over time. And so that there is the way that you can get medium and lighter roasts as easily as possible. If you've got a really light roast coffee, what you can do is something called a blooming espresso. And if you've got a coffee machine where you can turn on and turn off the flow rate, what you can do here is flow the water in and then stop, let it all saturate inside, and wait up to 30 seconds, and then pull the rest of the shot. And it sounds kind of crazy that there was over a minute to pull that shot of coffee, but it means that you can be really, really gentle and pull great-tasting light roast coffees. The final way that is people have tried is a turbo shot, which is where you pull a really, really fast shot by grinding coarser, and this is what it looks like there. So this here is like a much lighter tasting espresso. It's something you can do with lighter roast beans. So that was they were the different things. Let's summarize it all into a few different tips. So if you're roasting a dark bean, your espresso machine will probably do a great job. But if you want to taste those sort of more chocolatey, sort of fruity flavors of lighter roasts, there's some things that you need to do to be able to achieve that. So be really careful about grinding and tamping your puck, because you don't want those water channels to form. If you can, pre-infuse it for longer, if you can stop the machine or find a way to restrict that flow. If you've got a light roast, use hotter water if possible. And then finally, see if you can use lower pressure. So rather than having a full 9 bars, which is really harsh on the puck, look at changing that setting on the overpressure valve to have a more gentle extraction. And so if I was writing the ISO standard, here's what I would change it to. I would have two different standards, one for dark roast coffees and then a second standard for lighter roasts. I would assume that not everything was a straight line, and so I would have a section in there to say you've got to take time to do some pre-infusion because you can't just immediately slam that puck with water. And I would focus more on the flow rate of water into the cup instead of the pressure, because it does most of the time make sense to reduce that pressure over time if you can. So that there is my final thing. Unfortunately, I have nothing to do with the ISO standard, and so I don't think it's going to get changed anytime soon. And based on the Italian espresso, I think that they are going to keep things very traditional there as well. So that's all from me. Happy espresso.